Hello, horror fiends, and welcome to Guess What? You're Wrong, the podcast where we dive into all things horror and spoil the hell out of every movie we discuss. With me, Big D, as your host, be prepared for a terrifyingly good time. From classic slasher flicks to contemporary horror masterpieces, we're going to explore the genre from every angle that we can and leave no stone unturned. Horror, Prince, and Shine. New conversations, same podcast. So buckle up, Bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Enjoy the show!
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What? You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned. Hello and welcome back to another chemically induced, multiple personality laden episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Now today, this is an episode that actually has been long coming now. I've been meaning to get on here and do this for some time. As you know, some time ago, I was delving into the classics, right? Covered four movies from the 20s. Now it's time to bust into the 30s, baby. 1931 film Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Whew, a little bit for clamp. Let me get a drink real fast. So, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde from 1931, directed by, do my best to pronounce these, Ruben Mamoulian. Okay. Stars, boy, Frederick March as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Miriam Hopkins as Ivy Pearson, Rose Hobart as Muriel Carew, Holmes Herbert as Dr. Lanyon, Halliwell Hobbs as Brigadier General Carew, who is the father of Muriel Carew, Rose Hobart. I don't want to go down this whole list. There's a huge list of people on this, in this movie here. One awesome thing that I didn't realize until doing a little bit of research on this. But when I was watching this movie, I had seen it a few times already, but I remember in my head that, you know, old movies, you couldn't kiss. There's certain stuff you couldn't do on screen sexually, and certain things you couldn't do on screen physically, because it just wasn't allowed. I really had no idea that it was actually a code that was passed in Hollywood. It's also called popularly. You know what I'm trying to say. It's known as the Hays Code. Now, an interesting thing about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde from 1931, this was a pre-Hays Code or Hollywood pre-code Hollywood movie. So movies that came out in the there was a span of between the 20s and the 30s where movies came out and they didn't have this code of ethics, I guess, you know, what was right and wrong. So these from this era here, movies, you know, as audio came into movies and there was no more silent movies, even during in some silent movies, there was a lot of sexual innuendo, profanity, drug use, promiscuity, prostitution, infidelity, and all kinds of stuff was thrown in here. It wasn't until after the code was passed that movies in that era started changing, you know, because these things weren't allowed any longer. This movie, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, it's laden with that. I mean, particularly when we're talking about Ivy Pearson, played by Miriam Hopkins, there is some You know what? Let's get into the movie here, and we'll discuss that in during the movie here. So, Dr. Henry Jekyll is played by Frederick March. is a kind English doctor in Victorian London, right? Now he's certain, he's for sure that inside every man there's an alter ego kind of deal, and he's convinced that he can bring that person out, or that thing, beast, monster. Evil. You know, there's a good evil side to every person. Now he is engaged to Muriel Carew, who is played by Rose Hobart, and he wants to marry her in a rush. But her dad kind of puts his foot down, and it's like, this is Brigadier General Sir Danvers Carew, played by Halliwell Hobbs. He orders them to wait. No, you know, you take your time on this engagement here. There's a whole bunch of scenes, you know, with Muriel and Dr. Henry Jekyll. I'm sorry, it's not even Jekyll. It's correctly pronounced Jekyll, which is something I bet you didn't know. That's the correct pronunciation is Dr. Jekyll. Henry Jekyll. Anywho, there's a bunch of scenes leading up with, you know, building the relationship between Muriel and Henry. But then Dr. Jekyll and his good buddy, John Lanyon, were walking down the street, and they spot this this bar singer, I guess you could say. She's being attacked by this guy outside of her boarding house. Cool. Jekyll drives the man away. He shoos him away, you know, gets him away. He takes Ivy. Carries Ivy back up into her room to tend to her, you know, because she's been injured a little bit. And he's a doctor, Dr. Henry Jekyll, doctor, you know. So he gets her back, you know, she's okay, but she tries to seduce him. And it's in this scene here that you really see a lot of this pre-code stuff in this movie, because we have, I mean, the scenes, I mean, you're almost seeing things of her, you know, they're almost showing nudity. You know, there's glimpses of this here and a glimpse of that. And the way she acts towards Dr. Jekyll, it's very, very seductive, I'll say. So you can definitely tell that this was something that took place in between that time period, you know, where the code wasn't enforced. And I think it made the movie better, honestly. I know that there was a time after this was released, they cut out, I don't know, they cut out a whole bunch of, I think, 8 minutes or something like that. They cut out a bunch of the movie because they, after the code was passed, they wanted to re-release this. And I don't know, it was a whole bunch of kerfuffle and shit like that. But anyway. Sir Danvers takes Muriel to the bath. Wait. To the bath? No. Sir Danvers, who is Brigadier General Sir Danvers Carew, takes Muriel Carew to Bath. Not to the bath, but to Bath, France, I'm guessing. Yeah. On a bit of a holiday, you can say. So Dr. Jekyll is here on his own now, and he decides that he's going to do some experimenting with his theory that there are two different sides to every person. He's going to try and bring the other side out. Now, he's going to do this by experimenting with different types of drugs. Boy, I have seen a lot of people doing a lot of different drugs, and I see how that changes the people when they're doing drugs. I can't say that it's always for the best. I can say I've seen a lot of horror stories that people acting differently end up regretting the things that they've said and the things that they've done and the way that they acted afterwards. So, you know, having Dr. Jekyll dive into this drug-induced transformation, to me, it kind of seems like, yeah, well, when you're drunk or you're on drugs, you do become a different person. You know, that's what I think about. But what Dr. Jekyll does, he takes this these bunch of drugs that actually unleashes his evil side. He transforms into Edward Hyde. He's an impulsive, sadistic, violent, and an amoral man who indulges his every desire. Every desire. Now, there's a scene where Hyde initially finds Ivy in this music hall, where he's in the back, he's sitting in the seat, and he's just back there drinking, you know, doing what he wants to do, doing whatever. And the waiter comes over, the waiter says something, he takes his cane and he trips him. He's very rude, and he's, you know, a mean, sadistic person. But while he's in here doing this, he sees Ivy, and he falls in love. I mean, just, oh, you know, his heart is, well, he's evil, so he falls in lust, maybe? I don't know. But he convinces her, which I don't understand how he does it, but he convinces her to, like, become a couple kind of deal at first, or to not really to become a couple, but he convinces her to, you know. Sorry about that. But he convinces her to shack up with him, I guess. He kind of forces her to. And when he does this, all right, he convinces her to shack up with him. And what happens here is, while he is shacked up with her at her boarding house, I mean, he rapes her. He psychologically manipulates her, you know, abuses her. I mean, it's terrible. So here in the 30s, we're injecting some common things that we see as evil, right? Rape, psychological manipulation, abuse. We're injecting this into this movie here. So we see that Hyde really is, he's just evil. He sees what he's doing as perfectly okay. You know, so he goes in there, he's doing it, and he stays there with her doing these things, raping her over and over and over and over again, until he reads a paper where he reads that Sir Danvers and Muriel were planning to return to London from Bath. Now, Hyde leaves Ivy, but threatens her that he can return anytime he wants when she least expects it, right? So Hyde then takes a concoction again, drinks it down, turns back into Dr. Jekyll, and Dr. Jekyll can remember everything that happened, everything that went on, and so he feels guilty. He sends Ivy some money. Sends her some ducats, trying to buy his way back into, I guess, the goodness. I don't know. But now, from Ivy gets the money in a letter. And on the advice of Ivy's landlady, Ivy goes to Dr. Jekyll to thank him. And immediately she recognizes him as the man who saved her from the abuse that one night. In the alley, you know. So she is begging Dr. Jekyll, please, please help me, help me. I'll do anything. I'll be anybody you want me to be. Just help me. And Dr. Jekyll promises her, you'll never see Hyde again, you know. So Ivy's kind of is happy. She's like, cool, right? And I'm never going to see this guy again because Dr. Jekyll promises that. Yeah. But the next night, while walking to a party at Muriel's, where they were supposed to announce their wedding engagement, Dr. Jekyll, he changes into Hyde. I don't think this time he actually induces it, though. He changes into Hyde upon seeing a cat stalk and kill a bird. So now he's Hyde. So rather than go to the party, he goes to Ivy's room and murders her. because she went to Dr. Jekyll for help. Right? So, Now, Hyde then returns to Jekyll's house, but is refused entrance by the butler. Now, desperate at this point here, Edward Hyde writes a letter to Jekyll's good friend, Lanyon, instructing him to bring certain chemicals from Jekyll's lab and take them home with him. Now, when Hyde arrives, Lanyon pulls a gun on him and demands Hyde to take him to Jekyll. Right? Now, Hyde drinks down this little concoction that he has here, and he changes back into Jekyll. Lanyon is like, what the fuck? But Lanyon, at this point, knows that Jekyll is Hyde and Hyde is Jekyll. They're the same, same. Right? So now, at this point here, Dr. Jekyll's, he's aware now that he can't control the transformations. He's done fucked up, right? Jekyll goes to the Carew home and breaks off the engagement, right? Muriel is torn. I mean, she's heartbroken. What the hell's going on? Now, after he leaves, he stands on the terrace and watches Muriel cry. This is another trigger, right? It triggers Jekyll to transform into Hyde once again. Wow, man. He enters the house and assaults Muriel. Sir Danvers busts in and tries to stop him protecting his daughter, right? But Hyde beats him to death with Jekyll's walking stick. Then he flees back to Jekyll's laboratory, where he takes the formula again and reverts back to Jekyll. Now, this point here, you know, they're looking for him. Everybody's looking for him. But Lanyon had recognized the cane that was used to beat Sir Danvers and recognizes it as Jekyll's cane. Now, remember, Lanyon knows that Jekyll is Hyde and Hyde is Jekyll, right? So he tells the police, I know who did this. Follow me. Now, they leave the crime scene and he takes the police to Jekyll's house. Jekyll tells him to hide, dude, because Jekyll just took the concoction, transformed back into Jekyll. He said, hey, Hyde took off, dude. He's gone. He's out of here. But Lanyon insists that Jekyll and Hyde are one and the same. And in fact, they are. Now, the stress from this whole situation here causes Dr. Jekyll to once again transform into the enraged Hyde. And now, after a big fight here with the police, Hyde is shot. Shot dead, baby. And dying, laying there dying on the floor, he transforms back into Dr. Henry Jekyll himself. So, damn, what a movie. I don't even know. What's the runtime on this movie here? It wasn't, an hour and a half, hour and 38 minutes. Jeez, it doesn't seem like it's that long. Ooh, but all in all, this movie has a lot. I mean, there's so many things that I see in this movie, you know, specifically with the drug use, you know, the drug use and how it affects people and how people become different on certain drug use. As well, the evil that is inside of men. Now, I mean, that's something that really has been around. The idea has been around for a long time, but there's a yin and yang to every man. There's an evil and a good, you know. This kind of movie here, as it delves into this multiple personality disorder issue, using drugs to influence it. I mean, I think it's pretty spot on, if you ask me. I mean, I think it lends a lot to just that. Like I've said, when people are on drugs, they act differently. So it brings out a different person than they normally would be like. And, you know, March's portrayal here, I was reading somewhere that after the filming of this, he was admitted to the hospital. I'm not sure why, but this must have been very trying. I mean, the paint and the stuff that was on his face, I know that it almost permanently disfigured his, scarred his face. So it must have been Wow, a lot. Now, the remarkable Jekyll to Hyde transition scenes in this film were accomplished by manipulating a series of varied colors, colored filters in front of the camera lens. Frederick Marsh's Hyde's makeup was in various colors. Now, it was all on air in various colors. So the only way the appearance registered on film depending on which color filter was being shot through. Now, this is a black and white film, so the colors you couldn't see. But what they would do is have a different color filter on. It would cover the red makeup. Then another filter would cover the green makeup. And little by little, they would change them until the transformation was complete. Pretty damn ingenious for the time, tell you the truth. I think that's pretty damn ingenious for the time. Now, when MGM had decided to produce its own version of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in 1941 with Spencer Tracy, it acquired the rest of the film. Now, in order to avoid any competition or unfavorable comparison, MGM essentially suppressed this 1931 version and made it unavailable for many, many years. Whew. Boy, I can be long-winded, can I, baby? Of course, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde's appearance is directly influenced by Neanderthal Man. Bet you didn't know that, right? Yeah. The only version, here's another trivia piece. The only version where Dr. Jekyll's name is pronounced correctly, Dr. Jekyll. Jekyll. Told you. Jekyll. There you go. For years, the 80-minute version was the only one available. Then in the mid-1900s, a version running at 92 minutes was released, which included a few scenes that had been previously partially censored. I told you about that earlier, reasons why they're censored. Let's see what else here. The heavy makeup he wore as Hyde almost damaged Frederick Marsh's face. There's a lot of trivia here, but a lot of it's, kind of poof. Now, this held the distinction of being the only horror film nominated for the Golden Lion at the Venice Film Festival until 2009, when George A. Romero's Survival of the Dead became the second, nearly 80 years later. Damn, man. Damn. Let's see. Yeah, instead of the production code requirements for absolution of the wrongdoer, as seen in the 1941 version, as well as that year's The Wolfman, Jekyll's fate is only hinted at with the final shot of a flaming brimstone-like liquid. Interesting. Yeah, okay. But anyway, so that's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I'm going to pronounce it correctly this time. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde from 1931. All in all, great movie. I think just over the past month, I've watched it 3 times. It's a good movie. Check it out. If you don't, well, piss on you, because it's a good damn movie. Now, so that's the end of that podcast here. I want to go over some little housekeeping stuff here real quick. I know I've been gone for quite a while here. I just did an episode with my buddy Dave from the Piedmont Triad podcast covering Evil Dead Rise. I'm going to have some episodes coming out here sporadically. Work's just been pain in the ass, but we're trying to work around it and trying to get out what we can when we can. I know we got Creepshow number 1 coming out pretty soon. What else? Saw 2 coming out pretty soon. Still working on getting that next Rob Zombie film. What was it? The Devil's Rejects as well. Still looking at getting Night of the Living Dead. With our very own Phil Billy Moonshine. We'll see how that happens, when that happens. Whew. You know, the Hillbilly Jam's coming up, baby. It'll be awesome. Anyway, that's it. That's all I got. Everybody out there, sweet dreams, love, peace, and chicken grease. And that's going to do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bad shine. And until next time, don't forget, you're wrong.
Later, Tater.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night, and God bless America.